Welcome. My name is Caitlin Cook. Today, I will be discussing the famous urban legend of Bloody Mary. There are many different versions of this tale, so before I begin, I would like you to think about what you were told or have heard about the story of Bloody Mary. There are many different types of stories of who Bloody Mary is and where she came from. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about what I have heard about Bloody Mary, other adaptations of the story and the similarities, and my personal thoughts on my findings of these stories and how they relate to the class. So without further ado, let's begin. During our childhood years, some of us might remember playing a game called Bloody Mary. When I was younger, there were specific steps to playing the game. The first step was to stand in front of a mirror in a dark room. Then you have to say Bloody Mary 3 times. Then when you turn on the lights, you are supposed to see a woman's figure staring back at you in the mirror with blood all over her body. When I think back to how Bloody Mary began, it seems quite easy to describe. The Bloody Mary that I know of had lost her mother during her birth. Her father couldn't bear to look at her as she got older because she looked so much like her mother, and he believed that it was Mary's fault that her mother was dead. One day, her father couldn't look at her any longer, so he murdered his only daughter. Mary was in the bathroom at the sink when she investigated the reflection of the mirror. She saw her father holding a knife. Next thing she knew, she was being stabbed by her own father. Because her father had killed his only daughter, he had to face the most terrorizing consequences. One day, he was in the bathroom, the same one he murdered his daughter in. He looked into the mirror and saw her covered in blood. She reached out of the mirror and scratched him in the face. He got so scared that he ran out of the house and into the barn, and didn't go back to the house a few days after that. When he decided to go back to the house, he went back to the bathroom to clean himself up. When he looked into the mirror, he saw her again, but this time, she escaped the reflection of the mirror and chased him all the way back to the barn. When they got back to the barn, Bloody Mary pointed out a rope that was hanging from the rafters. She told her father to wrap the rope around his neck and to hang himself, and out of fear, he did it. So whenever someone summons Bloody Mary, it is said that she will reach out of the mirror and scratch your face. It is difficult to say what version of Bloody Mary is the original story. There are so many different stories about a woman trapped inside a mirror whose name was Mary. For this podcast, I did some research on the different stories that were told about Bloody Mary. I discovered 7 different stories about who Bloody Mary was and how her story began. During the course of this project, I had mentioned in a paper that I believed that the reason that the stories of Bloody Mary were different was because of where people came from. I believe that the reason why my version of Bloody Mary is not the same as what others have said was because I was from a different city. Each version has similar techniques to summoning Bloody Mary, but each of the stories about her were different. To help better my understanding about other people's perspectives about this story, I conducted a couple interviews with some peers of mine. One had told me that Bloody Mary came from Queen Mary of Scots. He had said that Queen Elizabeth I was scared that Bloody Mary would try and have her dethroned. Because Queen Elizabeth was so afraid to lose her throne, she had Queen Mary beheaded, and the blood that was shed from her death gave her the name Bloody Mary. After hearing this version of Bloody Mary, I decided to go and do some more research and found that this was a very common version. However, there are many stories that I dug up that were not at all similar to the Queen Mary of Scots version. When I went to Special Collections in the library, I found 5 stories that were about the legend of Bloody Mary. The first one that I found was written in 1968 by a woman named Pam Ferguson. Her version of Bloody Mary was different in many ways. One way was the name. Her story was about a woman named Mary Worth. She described Mary Worth as a witch that killed her husband from stabbing him 20 times. And after killing her father, Mary Worth goes on a killing spree. She ended up killing 20 people within the span of 20 days, and each person that she killed was 20 years of age. The number 20 is a common pattern in this story. Ferguson wrote that in order to summon Mary Worth, one must stand in front of a mirror and recite her name 20 times in order for her to appear. Ferguson did not mention, however, why the number 20 was so common in this version of her story. Similar to Pam Ferguson's adaptation of Bloody Mary, Phyllis Modisett describes Bloody Mary as a woman who goes by the name Mary Wolfe. Modisett explained that Mary Wolfe is a witch, just like Ferguson's Mary Worth. In result of Mary Wolfe being a witch, she was executed by the townspeople because during her time, it was considered to be a devilish sin to practice witchcraft. Modisett described that in order to summon Mary Wolfe, you must stand in front of a mirror and say, "I hate Mary Wolfe," 3 times, and that she will appear in the reflection of the mirror. Although Mary Wolfe and Mary Worth are described as witches, there are some stories about Bloody Mary that do not characterize her as a witch. Other stories that I encountered while digging through Special Collections, I had found 2 other stories that had some common similarities. Brenda Pittman and Wanda Pugs wrote in 1994 about their own versions of Bloody Mary. In other stories, they refer to Bloody Mary by a different name, but Pittman and Pugs referred to her as Bloody Mary. Pittman did not go into depth about the story of her version of Bloody Mary. However, while doing other research on the internet, I came across a story that described Bloody Mary as Queen Mary I. She had somehow developed a false pregnancy 2, and when Pittman goes into depth about how to summon Bloody Mary, she says that while holding a candle, you have to say, "Bloody Mary, I killed your baby," and when you blow out the candle, she will appear and scratch your face. When Pugs tells her version of Bloody Mary, she says that in order for someone to summon Mary, they have to be standing in front of the mirror and say Bloody Mary 10 times. Pugs and Pittman had similar versions of Bloody Mary, but there are others that aren't so similar. The last version of Bloody Mary that I discovered was written by a woman named Tori Morris in 1994. Her version is different because she refers to Bloody Mary as Mary Lou. Now, Morris did not give any background information about where her version of Bloody Mary came from. However, she did explain the process of summoning her Mary Lou. Just like in all the other versions, someone has to stand in front of a mirror, and then they say Mary Lou 10 times. After someone finishes saying her name, she will appear in the mirror and scratch their face. Each of these versions may be different, but each one shares a common similarity. The similarities between these stories is that they are all about a spirit that is a woman that goes by the name Mary. All the stories require some type of ritual in order to summon her. The first step in all of these stories is to stand in front of a mirror inside a dark room. Then, someone has to chant her name or a phrase, and some even require doing some movement too. After you finish chanting and doing any movement that might be required, Bloody Mary is supposed to appear in the reflection of the mirror. Some of the versions said that she will scratch your face when she appears. I think that Bloody Mary can relate to this class, depending upon which version you tell. When I interviewed one of my peers, he knew Bloody Mary as Queen Mary of Scots. When Queen Elizabeth had her executed, it was because she was afraid Queen Mary would try and take over her throne. I believe this to be a type of social evil, which is something that we discussed quite a bit throughout the semester. The two versions about Bloody Mary being a witch can also be construed as a type of social evil, because they were also executed because people did not like what they practiced. Another thing that we talked about on multiple occasions is how people are always isolated in scary stories. In all the versions that I found, in order to summon Bloody Mary, people usually go into a bathroom behind closed doors. When people do this, they are isolating themselves into the bathroom. Doing this gives them nowhere to run if they see her in the reflection of their mirror. After reflecting about my topic and my findings, I was quite shocked about how different some of these stories were. Growing up, I thought that everyone knew the same version of Bloody Mary that I did. I had no idea that people had different ideas about who Bloody Mary was and where she came from. I thought it was interesting that in order to summon Bloody Mary, in the other versions, you had to do things like spin in a circle 2 times or light candles. I really enjoyed this class because it made me think of scary stories that I remember being told to me as a kid. One thing that I wish I would have done differently was ask more peers about what they have heard and knew about Bloody Mary. When I visited special collections in the library, I found a lot of different versions of the story from the late 1990s and 1960s. But I did not find much from people of today. It is interesting to see how the story of Bloody Mary has changed throughout generations. This kind of urban legend reminds me of a rumor that just gets passed down to different people. Sometimes with rumors, the story can get misinterpreted, and so the next person to tell the story is going to say something completely different than what the actual story is. Bloody Mary is a very well-known story, and I have no doubt that people have not at least heard of a different version of this urban legend. I think that this story will be one that will continue to grow and be passed down from generation to generation. Again, my name is Caitlin Cook, and thank you for listening to my podcast.